praise the Lord. Lift us up above the shadows of this world. I can tell you, this world's full of dark shadows, darkness in this world. It's terrible. But the Lord came as a light to lead us out of this darkness, bring the kingdom of God to us. Morning, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, or 4, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we pray that thy kingdom would come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us wisdom and thy spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for it's time for the kingdom of God." It's time for the kingdom of God. It's at hand. It's now. I think one of the biggest misconceptions today in Christianity, give that term misconception generously, because I think it's a lie, that the kingdom is going to be off sometime in the future. That's not what the Bible teaches. Christ will come and claim his kingdom soon. But it's now. And those who want it are pressing into it now. John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way, the kingdom is at hand." And he told the people there how to prepare in Matthew chapter 3 and 4. Or chapter 3 said, verse 1, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Who was he talking to? He's talking to anyone that would hear him. He wasn't talking to the wind or the birds. He was talking to people. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven's now. It's here. Prepare for it. Make ready for it. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Jerusalem and all Judea. These people heard about this man out there preaching in the wilderness, and they left the town to come and hear him preach. They've heard the gospel. We think that what happened on Pentecost just happened all in one moment. This is 6 years before that. They had heard John preaching. He was planting seeds. He was out there plowing, tearing out brush, preparing the way for the kingdom of God to come. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. These people that teach today that God will just clean you up after you get saved, they're lying to you. John the Baptist came and said, you clean up yourself before you get baptized. I want to see some fruit. I want to see some evidence that you're going to live for Jesus. That you want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Clean yourself up. Let's see it. Let's see some differences in your life. Let's see you want to be a part of this kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. Prepare for it. Make the path straight. If I was going to tell you to build a path from here to somewhere, and I wanted it straight, what would you do? Go to the end of the path there and just wait? No. You'd clear the road. You'd start taking the brush out of the way. If I want to make a road through something, I got to clear the brush out of the way. Now get that cleared up and then level the ground, and then sometimes you got to haul rocks in or move dirt around to make a nice smooth path. The king's going to be walking on that path. Prepare for him. This is the kingdom of God, and it's now. If you want in the kingdom of God, you got to prepare yourself for it. It's not just going to happen to you because you've grown up in church. It's not going to happen to you because you pray hard enough. You need to get making some things right. If you've done somebody wrong, you go back and fix them. If you've cheated somebody, you go back and make it right with them. If you've lied to somebody, you go back and straighten it out. Prepare the way. If you're living in an adulterous marriage, repent of it. Separate yourself. If you're living in fornication, turn from it. Whatever it is, you've got to change. You've got to repent. Jesus isn't going to come and live in no unholy vessel. If you've got something that someone has against you, go fix it. John the Baptist gave some examples here. Think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Well, I grew up a Christian. Well, I grew up in a godly home. Well, God can make stones say that. Prepare the way. You've got to get in there yourself. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tree that's not going to press into the kingdom of God and bring forth kingdom fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. We're not just going to fall into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the most precious thing that's ever happened to this world. It's the most glorious institution that's ever happened to this world. It's not a light thing. They've got all kinds of clubs and all kinds of societies in this world. They don't hold a light. They're not a bit of light compared to the kingdom of God. Anyone can be a part of it, but there'll only be a few that find it. Because it's more choice than the SEALs, the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, or whatever, the most elite military groups there are. The kingdom of God is higher than that. The kingdom of God is more than the highest elite group that there is in this world. The kingdom of God. And few there be that find it. Get into it. Get into it. You can, if you want to. Choice is up to you. Nobody's going to force you into it. Your parents can't make you be a part of the kingdom of God. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to choose it. And that choice you have to make, and no one else can make it for you. Your spouse can't make it for you. No one can make it for you. You have to do it. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, I don't care where you're at. I don't care if there's nobody in your area. How many places we go all over the world and can't find anybody but one person in an area that wants God, that wants to press into the kingdom. Well, that choice is up to them. And if they want a kingdom there, they got to get in it themselves. I can't take it to them. I can't make them join it. We can't just deliver a kingdom to another country. We can take the message. We can take the opportunity, but unless someone just stands up and says, I want it, It's all in vain for them. We have a responsibility to publish and take the kingdom to all the world. Whether anyone takes it and receives it or not, our duty is to take it to them. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Luke and the other places, whenever John's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the soldiers come up and ask him, "What will we do?" He said, "Do harm to no man and be content with your wages." The other said, "He that has two coats, let him give to him that hath none." He gave them some things to do to start preparing themselves to make a way for the kingdom to come into their lives. There's something for us to do. Whatever it costs you, get into this kingdom. It's worth it. He's worthy. The first words out of Jesus' mouth after he come out of the wilderness, repent, change, turn, prepare yourself for the kingdom of God. People who, religious hypocrites and religious people, always miss God's call. They're always a few steps behind. The kingdom's now. One of these days, all these people who are looking and waiting for a kingdom are going to be beating on the door and say, "Lord, let me into your kingdom." And he's going to say, "No, it's too late. You missed it. You were pretending that the kingdom was going to come. It's already been there. It's already happened. And you missed it." What an awful day for those. What awful words to hear. You're too late. You're too late. The kingdom's now. Press into it. The king is coming to your house. The king is coming to your house. Is your house ready to receive a king? If an earthly king or an earthly president or an earthly governor or some person that is highly esteemed among men would call and say, "Hey, I'm coming to your house in 15 minutes. What would you do? Would you just say, "Oh, come on, it's ready"? Or would you run home as quick as you could and have to clean house? Get some things ready. What's your house like? Is it ready for a king? The king was going to come and spend some time. He's going to come right into your room. Would he come into your room and he said, "What's that doing in there?" Would he come into your house and he'd get over near a corner somewhere and he'd start looking around a little bit and he'd maybe come over your get over in a corner where you might have some stuff that just might not belong. Just might make you feel a little comfortable that the king was standing there looking at it. Would the king come in there and find that you got a bunch of posters advertising for his rival? What would he find? Would you let him look through your CDs? Would you just let him look through anything you got? Feel at home. Or would you want to maybe go hide some of that stuff if you knew he was coming? He ain't going to get a chance to hide it. He already sees it. And if you want him to come and dwell in your place, you better get rid of it, because he ain't going to dwell where stuff like that is. Things that are going to offend him. He's not going to bring his kingdom to fit into your kingdom. You better have your house in order. About your mind, your body, your life, your heart. People talk about receiving Jesus into their heart. Receiving Jesus into their temple. Can he dwell there at peace? Or is he going to find a bunch of stuff in there that he don't like? Well, he ain't going to be there. He ain't going to come in. You may pretend like he has. If there's a bunch of garbage in there, he's a king. He's not going to live amidst all of that stuff. He don't have to, and he isn't going to. He's given you a precious opportunity to clean house. If you're slack, or you're lazy, or you're not willing to get rid of something like that, whatever it is, he just won't come. The kingdom of heaven is now. Prepare the way. Open the door. Kingdom is like a garden. You just don't throw a handful of seeds out in the garden and expect stuff to grow. It won't happen. Weeds grow naturally. You got to cultivate anything that's going to bring forth fruit. You got to till the ground. You got to clear it off. You got to pick up a bunch of rocks. Till it again and pick up a bunch more rocks. Till it again and pick up a bunch more rocks. It's a lot of work. Your life is a garden. Your life is a garden. Do you spend as much time working on your soul as you would in a garden? I'm not talking about just doing a little religious exercise here. Oh, I read my Bible today. Check. I prayed for 5 minutes. Check. I sang a couple hymns. Check. I'm good to go. That's just a bunch of religious baloney. That's works. Need to wake up every morning. Examine yourself. Go to bed every night. Examine yourself. Pick up the rocks. Read the Bible as a mirror to look at yourself. You ain't got time to be worried about anybody else. You got to look at yourself. Sometimes along the way, you may get a chance to help somebody else, but you're to examine your own life. You get the microscope out and you look at yourself. Then you turn it around and look at everybody else. We get that thing turned around once in a while. We get to magnifying everyone else and instead of looking and magnifying it on ourselves and looking at the small end of the telescope. We used to be able to take a telescope and you could see closer when you're looking out, and then you turn it around and everything went way far away when you looked at it backwards. Examine yourself. Work on your own garden. That first song we sang talked about that. Every seed that you sow, every deed that you do, it's going to grow. And when our life is over, it won't just be my life right here. We tend to look at things right now, at this moment. But who we are is scattered out over however long we live. And you pile all that into one life. What do you come up with? You're painting a picture, and each day you just make one stroke. We look at that one day as making that one stroke there. But when you compile your whole life as a series of strokes, is there going to be a bunch of black spots on that canvas? Or is it going to be a beautiful painting? Is it going to turn out pretty? Or is it going to look like just a messed up glob of nothing? We're painting a picture. We're growing a garden. We're growing a garden of the kingdom of God. How's our garden look? John chapter 3 talks about being born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's going to get us into heaven? Being born again or being in the kingdom of God? You can't even see the kingdom of God until you're born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't even enter the kingdom of God till you're born again. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get into the kingdom of God with those things in your life. That's why Jesus said, repent first. Put these things away. Prepare for the kingdom of God is now. Every time you read in the Bible, there's a sign just down the road. You bring the fish in, God will clean them. There isn't a message that the devil could be more proud of. Don't you worry about the fish. You just get them into church. God will clean them. That's not the message of God. The message of God is turn from your sins. Press into the kingdom of God. The violent, the Matthew chapter 11. I think that's where that is. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a battle going on. And you're not going to just sit idly by and coast into heaven. You're not going to just sit idly by and join the kingdom of God. Repent. Press into it. Search your life. Start out each day with the thought, what do I need to press into the kingdom of God today? And then do it. Press in to the kingdom of God. There's no other way. Seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. God is at hand. It's now. The only door you have to enter into it may be right in front of your face. Might be the last opportunity you get to make something right with somebody. It might be the last opportunity you get to go forgive somebody. The door is going to shut on the kingdom one day. And when God shuts the door, you don't open it. Too late. When God sealed the door on the ark and it began to rain, just makes me sick sometimes to think of how people have made such a happy little go lucky thing out of the ark. People outside of the ark were dying and screaming and drowning. because God had shut the door. There wasn't nobody else getting on it. Homosexuals have taken over the rainbow, thinking it's a all-loving thing that God did. They don't realize they'd have been on the outside screaming, begging for that door to open. Just one more chance. Everybody in the world died except for 8 people because they missed the door being opened. The kingdom of God's door is coming to a close. There's so many things going on today, and it happens so fast, we can't even think about it. We don't even have time to be scared to death anymore. This world is coming to an end. It's had all it can take of sin. Sin is a burden to this world. And I believe God is withdrawing Himself from this world. And everywhere He draws back, Satan fills right up. Till the time God says, that's all. The things that are going on. Look at the weather. Earthquakes. All around, right here. Used to hear of a tornado once in a while. Now there's a big one, it seems like every 2 or 3 months goes through. Things are changing. You can blame it on whatever you want. I believe it's because sin is rising up and this earth's getting sick of it. God's creation is moaning under the weight of sin. Waiting for God to shut the door and to seal those that are in His kingdom and to seal those out that aren't. We don't even have time to look and be so shocked at how wicked this world is. Has become. We forget. What God has spared us from. And how cold and heartless. This world really is. The kingdom of God is now. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, to do Your will. Lord, that You'd help us, God, as we strive to enter into Your kingdom. We need labor to enter into your kingdom, Father. You might be a part of it, the glorious kingdom of our Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have granted us the grace, the mercy to be a part of your kingdom, Father. Lord, help us take full advantage of it, God. Be the salt to this wicked, wicked world, Father. And the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have anything they'd like to share? Well, okay. Verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." It's here, is what he's trying to say. It's not that it's just inside. It's here. It's now. Right. See, that in Thessalonians it talks that in the last days, 2 Thessalonians, whenever people are saying that, well, I'll just turn there and read it here. Verse 3, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The temple is what I'm talking about whenever in the message. This is God's dwelling place, our body. And if we're not, haven't prepared ourselves, God won't live in this body. People today are going around saying that they are filled with God, they're filled with His Holy Spirit, and they're ignoring all that is called God in this world. They're ignoring God's Holy Spirit trying to condemn them and convict them of their sin. And they're saying that God's living in me. Why are you trying to condemn me whenever you preach God's word? The Antichrist lives in unholy vessels, declaring himself to be God and is worshipped so that he is God, or as that he is God. Remember ye not when I was yet with you, I told you these things, Paul said. And now ye know that what withholdeth that he might reveal in his time. Here's what I was talking about. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's withdrawing himself. God is being taken out of the way, and this Antichrist is coming and taking his place. And men are buying it. And when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with his brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This Antichrist has filled people and they're with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall give them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Yes. These people that are calling for a revival or say that we're just on the verge. Yes. Yeah.
This is not the exact thing Jesus is saying to people. Not even like the evangelicals would say. They've been deluded by the guy in the Thessalonians. This other thing is just like the Jews and the Pharisees would say. So the kingdom of God is coming like this and like that. And these people are saying, peace. Everything gets better. Technology is better.
Peace, peace. It's economical. They're just right. And he said, "Will when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith on the earth? Will I even find any of it?" And he said, "Except those days be shortened, the very elect will be deceived." That is a lie. That things are getting better. These churches that teach we're just on the verge of a worldwide revival. And that's plain people saying that. That's their theme. That God is just ready to break through. And that all they're doing is just preparing their people for this Antichrist just to come in and be worshiped. They're just, it's set up prime for that. That's why the people who call themselves Christians hate us. They call us haters. It will be a worldwide revival, but it will be towards the Antichrist, not towards the God of creation. Well, this first verse is amen. That first verse has said there will be a falling away. That's happened already. I mean, that's why it's just over and over again. I just looked at the chaos last night on the street. It was just crazy. You all were there. I mean, it was just, there was fights breaking out and just wickedness everywhere. Someone yelled out, "You're the one going to hell." Because we dare stand there and say that they were wrong. That something was wrong. It's why you don't even, you say, why are you saying I'm going to hell? Because I'm living it, and we didn't even say what they were doing. And they come and tell us what they're doing, or they come and say, well, what's wrong with me doing this? Well, you just told us that God is screaming in your ear what's wrong with it. And you feel confused. We're just holding a Bible verse. Their signs are in flashing neon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's Well, all right. Lord bless you. See you back here at 6:30 this evening.